Invitations. It was as if they were sitting in the same room, thanks to the three-dimensional communications link. Mitchell Thornberry was in his office in Chicago, however, while Anita Halleck was reclining in a therapy chair in her home outside Barcelona. It was just past 6 p.m. in Chicago. Through his office window, Thornberry could see sailboats cutting through the waves of a choppy Lake Michigan. It had rained earlier in the afternoon, and off on the horizon thunderclouds were rearing their ominous dark heads against a graying sky. Thornberry had peeled off his jacket and pulled his tie loose. He had been thinking about tugging his shirt out from his trousers when the phone announced that the chairwoman of the World Council was calling. "It's good of you to answer my call so quickly, Ms. Halleck," Thornberry said with a gruff good cheer that he did not really feel. "Be nice to the lady," he told himself. "Don't twist her knickers. Why, it must be after midnight where you are." Halleck smiled minimally. "The trouble with the World Council is that its business encompasses the whole world and all its time zones." "Well, I appreciate your calling," Thornberry reiterated. "My assistant told me that you were inquiring about Mrs. Kell."
"Aditi," Thornberry said.
"Yes. According to Jordan, you're keeping her in protective custody against her will." There was a slight lag in their communications link while the messages went up to a relay satellite in geosynchronous orbit and then back to the ground again. Halleck felt her chair's welcome heat and massage on her back as she smiled perfunctorily at the camera on the wall across her room. "Against her will is putting it rather strongly," she said. "She's working quite willingly with a team of our scientists."
"And where would that be?" Thornberry asked.
"At a facility where she's safe from attack by fanatics and loonies."
"But she'd rather be with her husband, you know."
"Of course. That's only natural."
Thornberry realized what Halleck was doing. Agree with everything, but give nothing. Not a millimeter.
"Must she be kept separated from him?" he asked. "No, not at all. As a matter of fact, we are extending an invitation to Mr. Kell to join his wife at our secure facility."
"Are you now?"
"Yes, indeed. We have no desire to keep them separated," Halleck said, with near-perfect sincerity.
"Well, I didn't know that," said Thornberry.
Halleck went on, "So you see, Mr. Thornberry, it's up to Mr. Kell himself to end this separation. All he has to do is to accept our invitation."
"Would you be willing to allow Aditi to join Jordan where he is now? He's perfectly safe, and I understand that a private security team is being put together for him."
"I'm afraid that would be rather impractical. After all, Mrs. Kell is working with a team of dedicated scientists. It would be far better if he came to where she is."
"At your facility?"
"At our facility."
"And just where might that be?"
Halleck hesitated, a heartbeat longer than the communications lag required. Then, "I'm sorry, Mr. Thornberry, but I can't tell you the location. Even the council's chairwoman has to obey the security regulations."
Thornberry puffed out a sigh. "But you've invited Jordan to come to your facility and be with Aditi again?"
"I believe he's being invited right now, as we speak."
"Is he now?"
A hint of a smile curling her lips, Halleck said slowly, "You know, Mr. Thornberry, the work that Mrs. Kell and our scientists are doing should be of some interest to you."
"Really?"
"They're working on a technology that the aliens use, faster-than-light communications, that could make a profitable product line for you eventually."
Thornberry immediately realized, "She's trying to bribe me." He said, "I suppose it could."
"I'm sure the council would grant you licensing rights once we've got the technology in hand."
"Exclusive rights?" Thornberry heard himself ask.
"Probably."
"Well, I suppose that's all to the good, then."
"I'm glad that you see it that way."
With a reluctant smile, Thornberry said, "Well, thanks again for answering my call."
"It was a pleasure to speak with you," said Halleck.
"Oh, I nearly forgot."
"What?"
"It would have been a grand foolishness for me to talk so pleasantly with you, and then forget to give you the news."
"What news?"
"I want you to know that I've placed Jordan's name in nomination for next year's election to the World Council. Both the American and the European delegations have accepted his nomination very happily."
The shocked expression on Halleck's face warmed Thornberry's Irish heart. But his brain scolded him.
"There goes your chances for an exclusive license on the FTL communications technology."
"Rudolfo Castiglione calling for you, sir," said the phone in Jordan's bedroom.
Jordan had just finished dinner with Otero, Vera Griffin, and McKinley, the network's public relations director. He sensed that there was bad blood between McKinley and Griffin, but Otero took it all cheerfully as they outlined the plans they were making for his news conference. "We'll have every major network there," said McKinley proudly.
"And some of the world's most important bloggers and chatters," Griffin added.
"Good," said Otero, like a happy grandfather sitting at the head of the table. Jordan took it all in, thinking, "It's only good if I can get Aditi out of Halleck's hands. Mitch has told her that I'm standing for election to the World Council, and she must be furious about that." The dinner ended at last, and Jordan repaired to his suite, hoping that Aditi would call him. Instead, he got Castiglione. The Italian appeared to be sitting in a comfortable living room, leaning back in a recliner with his legs crossed.
"Good evening, Mr. Kell," he said.
"To what do I owe the pleasure of your call?" Jordan asked with a diplomat's sham goodwill. Turning his smile to full wattage, Castiglione replied,
"I have good news for you. I have finally convinced the powers that be to invite you to join your wife at the facility where she now resides."
The powers that be are Anita Halleck, Jordan knew, and the facility was in a space habitat out at the L5 location, but he wasn't going to let Castiglione know that he knew where she was. As innocently as he could manage, Jordan asked, "And where might that be? I take it you've moved her from Barcelona?" It took several seconds for Castiglione to reply. The communications lag, Jordan realized. Even at the speed of light, communications take a few seconds to cover the distance between Earth and L5. Castiglione answered at last, "No, she is no longer in Barcelona. In fact, she is no longer on Earth." Jordan's expression darkened. "You've moved her to an orbital facility. Against her will, I'm sure. She would prefer to be with you, of course. So I have convinced Halleck that it would be best to reunite the two of you." Grinning, he added, "It's the romantic in me."
"Very romantic," said Jordan. "If I go there, when will we be allowed to leave?"
With a shrug, Castiglione said,
"When your wife's work with our team of scientists is finished, I suppose. Is that a promise I can rely on?"
"Let us say that it is a possibility that depends on several factors."
"Such as?"
"Such as your giving up this attempt to get yourself elected to the World Council."
There it is, Jordan thought, out in the open at last.
"If I do that," he asked, "then Aditi and I will be allowed to leave your facility and end this ridiculous farce of protective security?"
"It is not a farce, I assure you. Our security people have tracked several groups that want to assassinate you.
I have my own security team now. No private organization has the power and the capability of the World Council's security organization."
"Perhaps," Jordan conceded.
"You will come? It seems a shame to keep you two separated."
"The separation wasn't our idea."
"True enough. But now you have the opportunity to end it."
"At the cost of my freedom." Castiglione didn't reply for many moments. At last, his smile gone, he leaned forward slightly and warned,
"This may be the only chance you get to be with your wife once again. Don't be stubborn."
Jordan let his head droop slightly. Then he looked up and said softly, "I suppose you're right." Castiglione's grin reappeared.
"As the Americans say, you can't fight City Hall."
"I suppose not," said Jordan.
"All right, I have a news conference scheduled for tomorrow. I'll be ready to go to Aditi the day after."
"Good," said Castiglione.
"Excellent.
You'll make arrangements for my transportation?"
"Of course."
"Very well. I'll join Aditi in 2 days' time, then," Jordan said. To himself, he added, "Or sooner."